Chapter 7, A Godly Example in the Home. Preview. In this selection, Ellen White underlines the theology of parenting, which may seem to be an odd phrase. We are used to such expressions as the theology of righteousness by faith and the theology of the Sabbath. But to use the word theology in connection with the task of rearing or teaching children is not often done. Yet parenting has large spiritual implications. There are few parents who realize how important it is to give to their children the influence of a godly example. Yet this is far more potent than precept. No other means is so effective in training them to write lines. Again, Ellen White says, "When parents awaken to a true understanding of their neglected duties, they will marvel at the spiritual blindness that has characterized their past experience." Children require daily spiritual attention. For one thing, their lives are changing too rapidly for mere once-a-week guidance. Each day, foundation elements of character are being formed. But there's a second reason for daily spiritual help. A church with high ideals for its young necessarily has high standards. Now, if high or rigorous standards are left unexplained, if they aren't imaginatively adapted to a child's daily routine, they quickly become burdensome and oppressive to a young person. And a child may obey for a while. He may attempt to please a parent or a teacher or a pastor, but if he does so without enthusiasm for the church's standards and ideals, he is subtly developing the character of a rebel. In another place, Ellen White warns, "A sullen submission to the will of the Father will develop the character of a rebel. The service is looked upon by such a one in the light of drudgery. It is not rendered cheerfully and in the love of God. It is a mere mechanical performance." In this reading, God's servant notes the role played by Christ's life and sacrifice in teaching children cheerful obedience. Jesus' sweet and optimistic treatment of individuals disarms those who think of God as a tyrant. "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," the master teacher said. In all that he did, Jesus portrayed God and the values of his kingdom in an appealing way. Children who are exposed to Jesus' life have an opportunity to learn to obey and to grow from the point of view of admiration rather than fear of God. Article, introduced by statement from a letter. The entire chapter, 2 Peter 1, contains most instructive lessons in regard to the transformation of our character after the likeness of the character of Christ. The whole structure of the human character is to be rebuilt. We are to be created anew in Christ Jesus. The scripture says, "The Lord created a new thing in the earth." What was this? Lost man was to be recovered, sin was to be pardoned, the sinner saved, transformed in character, to become a co-worker with God. All heaven was to be laid open to supply fallen man with every spiritual blessing that he might perfect a character after the divine similitude. Important work in the home. The Lord has recently impressed upon me again the need of reminding Seventh-day Adventist parents of the important work to be done in the home. To all parents who profess to believe in the soon return of Christ, there is given a solemn work of preparation, that they and their children may be ready to meet the Lord at His coming. God desires to see parents take their position wholeheartedly for Him, that there may be no perverting of the work He has given them to do, and that our children and youth may understand clearly the will of God concerning them. They are to learn to resist evil and choose righteousness, to turn from sin and become the faithful servants of God, prepared to give Him their life's highest service. Influence of godly example. There are few parents who realize how important it is to give to their children the influence of a godly example. Yet this is far more potent than precept. No other means is so effective in training them in right lines. The children and youth must have a true copy in right doing if they succeed in overcoming sin and perfecting a Christian character. This copy they should find in the lives of their parents. If they enter the city of God and rejoice in the overcomer's reward, someone must show them the way. By living before their children godly, consistent lives, parents may make the work before them clear and plain. It is God's desire that parents should be to their children the embodiment of the principles laid down in His Word. Let them make it their aim to train their children for God, to keep the feet of their children in the narrow path, will call for faithful effort and constant prayer. But it is possible to train the children and youth to love and serve God. It is possible to inculcate the principles of righteousness, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, until the desires and inclinations of the heart are in harmony with the mind and will of God. When fathers and mothers realize the responsibility resting upon them and respond to the appeals of God's Spirit in behalf of this neglected work, there will be seen in the homes of the people transformations that will cause the angels to rejoice. Parents, to study 2 Peter 1, let parents study the first chapter of the second epistle of Peter. Here is represented the exalted excellence of Bible truth. It teaches that the Christian's experience is to be one of steady growth, of constant gain in graces and virtues that will give strength to the character and fit the soul for eternal life. It is the privilege of parents and children to grow together in the grace of Christ. Those who comply with the conditions laid down in the Word will find full provision for their spiritual needs and for power to overcome. Feeling the need of that grace which heaven alone can furnish and which Christ imparts to all who seek, they will become partakers of the heavenly gift. Those who have accepted Bible truth are to keep the truth circumspectly. They are to follow on to know the Lord, gathering into their souls the light of heaven. But they must not stop there. They are to communicate the light and knowledge received. The Lord expects parents to make earnest, united efforts in the training of their children for Him. In the home, they are to cultivate the graces of the Spirit, in all their ways acknowledging Him who, through the sanctification of the Spirit, has promised to make us perfect in every good work. When parents awaken to a true understanding of their neglected duties, they will marvel at the spiritual blindness that has characterized their past experience. And when they become learners of Christ, they will be taught how to do their work acceptably. Need to understand daily temptations of youth. Parents need to understand the temptations that the youth must daily meet, that they may teach them how to overcome them. There are influences in the school and in the world that parents need to guard against. God wants us to turn our eyes from the vanities and pleasures and ambitions of the world and set them on the glorious and immortal reward of those who run with patience the race set before them in the gospel. He wants us to educate our children to avoid the influences that would draw them away from Christ. The Lord is soon coming, and we must prepare for this solemn event. My brethren and sisters, let your daily life in the home reveal the living principles of the Word of God. Heavenly agencies will cooperate with you as you seek to reach the standard of perfection, and as you seek to teach your children how to conform their lives to the principles of righteousness. Christ and heavenly agencies are waiting to quicken your spiritual sensibilities, to renew your activities, and to teach you of the deep things of God. The parents' role. Parents should be united in their faith, that they may be united in their efforts to bring their children up in the belief of the truth. Upon the mother, in a special sense, rests the work of molding the minds of the young children. But the father should feel more deeply than he usually does his responsibilities in the home. Upon him, as well as upon the mother, rests the duty of laboring for the spiritual welfare of his children. Business matters often keep the father much from home and prevent him from taking an equal share in the training of the children, but whenever he can, he should unite with the mother in this work. Let parents work unitedly, instilling into their children's hearts the principles of righteousness. The vows of David, recorded in Psalm 101, should be the vows of all upon whom rest the responsibilities of guarding the influences of the home. David declared, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Home missionary work, the most important. Home missionary work is a most important work. It should be our first work to give that light to those related to us by the ties of kinship and blood. There should be no neglect on our part to do our utmost to bring them to an understanding of the knowledge we have received. If any provide not for his own, the Apostle Paul declared, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Shall the people who have a solemn message to bear for the enlightenment and salvation of the world make little or no effort for the members of their own family who are unconverted to the truth? Will parents allow their minds to be engrossed with trifling matters, to the neglect of the all-important question, is my family prepared to meet the Lord? Will they assent to the great truths that are present truth for these last days, and be interested to see this message going to other peoples and lands, while they allow their children, their most precious possession, to go on unwarned of their danger and unprepared for the future? Shall those who, from the Word of God and through the witness of His Spirit, have had clear light concerning their duty, allow the years to pass without making definite efforts to save their children? Christ is waiting for the cooperation of human agencies, that He may impress the hearts of our children and youth. With intense desire, heavenly beings long to see parents making the preparation which is essential if they and their children stand loyal to God in the coming conflict, and enter in through the gates to the city of God. Let parents arouse from their indifference and redeem the time. Let them seek to correct the mistakes they have made in the past in the management of their children. Let those who have neglected their God-given work repent of their neglect, and in the fear of God, take up their responsibilities. As they seek to magnify the law of God in the daily life, they will make that law honorable in the eyes of their children. The Review and Herald, October 12, 1911.